Improving Work-Life Quality, a Diagnostic Approach Model. You're listening to Longwoods Radio, your healthcare source for ideas, new policies, and best practices. Quality of work life in the hospital setting has become the primary focus of many organizations across Canada. Blue Water Health is firmly committed to enhancing the quality of work life for its staff and physicians, who have undergone significant change over the past 5 years, to ensure a viable health care system in their community. The concept of employee satisfaction is about more than simply providing people with a job and a salary. It's about providing people with a place where they feel accepted, wanted, and appreciated. This becomes the standard in all manner of industries, as companies, both large and small, struggle not only to attract the best and brightest in their field, but to keep them. The reduction of the number of nursing school applicants, combined with the impending retirement of up to 25% of Canada's nurses, and the lure of American nursing contracts, leaves Canadian hospitals in a precarious situation with their future ability to provide health care. In 1998, the healthcare system in Lambton County underwent significant change, like many other hospitals in Ontario. Changes impacting the organization included downsizing and elimination of duplication from the three sites, including the Sarnia General Hospital, St. Joseph's Health Center, both located in the city of Sarnia, Ontario, and the Charlotte Eleanor Engelhart Hospital in Petrolia, Ontario. Staff began to feel that the total restructuring efforts rested upon their shoulders. As the three sites became integrated, staff felt distrust among their site colleagues, fearing a loss of identity, loss of jobs, and a feeling of lack of support from administration. The changes in integration continued with the creation of Lambton Hospitals Group, which recognized the three sites coming together to the final outcome of the creation of Blue Water Health in April 2003. Blue Water Health is one organization that consists of the Mitten Street site, the Russell Street site in Sarnia, and the Charlotte Eleanor Engelhart site in Petrolia, Ontario. The staff endured the alliance formation of three hospitals, the withdrawal of St. Joseph's Health Center completely from healthcare, and the creation of a new single system, all within 4 years. The outcome of the integration, downsizing, and internal reorganization created a stressful and sometimes painful environment for the staff. The administration realized that the delivery of high-quality healthcare could not be supported with such a demoralized staff and depressed organization. A decision was made to approach the problem in a clinical manner. In January 2001, the first Quality of Work-Life Committee was formed. This paper outlines the processes used to investigate, diagnose, and implement a pathway of recovery for our staff and physicians. The primary goal was to improve the quality of work-life for our staff. Step 1. Recognition of work-life issues. In October 2000, the strategic planning exercise of the boards and other key stakeholders identified a strategic priority to build a people-centered organization. A key directive evolving from this strategy was to focus on enhancing the quality of work-life of our staff. Evidence of increasing absenteeism, poor employee morale, and a general sense of apathy of the staff was shared with the board. To assist in achieving this corporate objective, a physician and a vice president from the organization teamed together to focus on enhancing the quality of work life. Step 2. Commitment to improvement. The primary corporate objective for 2001, 2002, and 2002 and 2003 was identified thus: to enhance the workplace environment through staff recognition and support programs. The continued support from the board for the commitment to making Blue Water Health a great place to work provided a solid foundation to begin and gave a clear message to the staff. A board understood that this was not a flavor-of-the-month concept, but a culture shift within the organization. The board's understanding gave support to this large endeavor being undertaken by the staff. Quality of work-life reports are reviewed weekly by the senior executive and monthly at board meetings, ensuring a continued commitment and focus on the employees. Step 3. Formation of Quality of Work-Life Teams. In November 2000, a request was sent out to all staff asking for volunteers to become members of the first Quality of Work-Life Working Group. It became evident that trust was an issue that impacted the formation of the first teams. Two teams of managers and staff were formed in January 2001. Frontline staff felt that their issues were different than those of managers and could not speak comfortably if their manager was sitting at the same table. At first, the primary work of the teams was to identify the issues that they felt might have impact on the quality of work life at Blue Water Health. The main areas identified by the teams were loss of morale, burnout, loss or lack of trust, risk-averse environment, loss of communication links among colleagues, increased volume and intensity of work activity, reward or recognition, and caretaking function is not supported by Blue Water Health as a whole. The first step to determining these issues, the issues facing the hospitals, was to conduct focus groups with staff and managers and analyze the data that was gathered to discover common themes. Step 4. Train facilitators. Members from both the manager's team and the staff team were trained in facilitation skills to ensure consistency of data collected between teams. Both a leader and a note-taker conducted open forum sessions to gather information. Step 5. Conduct focus groups. A total of 16 focus groups were held. Initially, turnout was low. Staff were unable to be freed up to leave their units. As well, fear, apathy, and lack of union promotion of the project appeared to be the factors of the small initial numbers. Focus groups continued to be conducted in the two separate forums, managers and frontline staff. Committee members spent additional time communicating the need for staff input, and messages were shared on the internal email system to promote attendance at the focus sessions. Managers were asked to encourage staff to attend the sessions. The sessions were facilitated by team members and intended to gather common themes and commitments to be used in the development of a staff questionnaire. Following the collection of data from the 16 focus groups, common themes were identified. It was noted that staff and manager groups had identified similar themes of dissatisfaction. Based on the findings from the focus groups, and following mutual agreement, the two teams, managers and staff, joined to form a single quality of work-life committee. Step 6. Analyze information from focus groups. Information from the staff and manager focus groups was summarized, and the following themes were identified: scheduling, interpersonal interactions, communication, increased visibility by leadership team, recognition and reward, respect of each other, caretaking functions, need help dealing with change, burnout, lack of job satisfaction, and fear to speak out, and workload, the same volume of work with less staff. Step 7. Survey development. Based on the key themes identified, a survey was developed by Dr. Lees. Rather than use an existing or purchased survey tool, the survey was developed around the focus group's themes. It was felt that information was required on how much of an influence these themes had on an organization. The survey was developed to pinpoint issues, determine needs, and lead the creation of an action plan. The 8 themes identified would be the focus. Administration of the actual survey was discussed in depth. It was determined that the best way to administer the survey was to mail copies of the survey to the staff homes. While mailing surveys may carry a greater expense, it was felt that there would be an increased response rate due to the personal nature of a letter and having every staff member receive a copy of the survey. Mailing the surveys ensured anonymity, and as a self-addressed stamp envelope in which employees could return to the completed survey accompanied with each survey. To attract staff and complete the survey, a postcard was included, which could be returned separately and would be used to enter respondents into a draw. To assist in gaining maximum response to the survey, a letter composed by Dr. Lees was included, which emphasized the need for personal participation on the part of all staff members, as well as describing the impact that this survey would have on the work environment. The survey was an integral part of the diagnostic process and one of the best ways to ensure that all staff members had their voices heard on the issue of quality of work life. Additional information that was gathered included quantitative categories including age, number of years working in hospitals, number of years in current position, and the number of downsizings the respondent had experienced. The qualitative characteristic categories included type of position, gender, employment status, highest education achieved, asking whether the respondent had previously experienced downsizing, and where the respondent expects to be in 5 years, with set response choices offered. Step 8. Analysis. The results of the survey were analyzed using a statistic program, providing a defined score for each of the items measured and allowing for comparison among various groups. Surveys were mailed to all staff and physicians in September 2001. The response was impressive. 1,700 surveys were distributed, and 1,043 were returned. A response rate of 61.4% was achieved. By November 2001, the analysis was complete and the results were compiled. The report was broken down into 7 categories: administrators, managers, nurses, non-clinical support, physicians, regulated health professional, and patient care support. A number of staff chose to offer written comments. Many of the comments mirrored those that were made in the focus groups and were consistent with the results seen by the qualitative data gathered in the survey. Step 9. Develop organization profile. The results from the survey indicated that the perceived strongest area among the 14 categories was communication among peers. According to the results, there were no observable differences among the 7 occupational groups in their ratings of respect, communication among peers, support from coworkers, and burnout. However, in all remaining measures, there were significant differences between the least 2 groups. The nurses and physicians groups' scores were noticeably lower than those from the other 5 groups, with the highest scoring group being administrators, followed by managers. The other 3 groups, regulated health professionals, non-clinical support workers, and patient care support workers, all tended to score relatively the same and in the mid-range between the 2 poles. Step 10. Identify and implement improvement opportunities. 6 areas for improvement were identified from the survey: communication, attendance management program, support, practice of leadership, recognition and non-monetary compensation, and nurses and physicians. The core quality of work-life team developed 6 sub-teams which were each focused on one area for improvement. Each of the 6 initiatives were given equal importance and launched at the same time. Information sessions were held in January 2002, outlining the results of the survey and seeking involvement of staff on the new teams. Each team was given a mandate, communication team mandate, to establish clear communication strategies focusing on linkages between managers and staff. Attendance management team mandate, to reevaluate the attendance of management system, focusing on removing all the negative aspects as perceived by the staff. Support team mandate, to review the support structures available to staff, including review of workload and support from supervisors. Leadership team mandate, to review the practice of leadership from a staff perspective, including increasing opportunities for decision making. Reward and recognition team mandate, to review current reward and recognition systems and to enhance informal recognition across the system. Nurses and physicians team mandate, to establish focus groups to address the unique needs of the physician and nursing staff based on the consistent low scores in the survey results. The teams were launched in April 2002. Each team was championed by a senior executive to ensure staff were aware of the commitment by the organization to the Quality of Work-Life Initiative. Each team reported to the core team monthly, outlining their progress and any barriers they needed assistance to overcome. Step 11. Evaluate. The outcome of the team's work has been impressive. A number of different initiatives were attempted by the individual groups to meet their mandate. The communication team began looking at the only facility-wide communication system, the Meditech program, and investigated ways not only to enhance employees' skills on the OA system, but to keep the system updated and organized, ensuring that important information posted for employee edification is ready and easily available. The attendance management team turned the pre-existing attendance management policy from one that appeared to punish staff members for absenteeism to one that rewarded employees for working to reduce their absenteeism. This was achieved by developing a reward system for employees who worked for a 3-month period without taking an unscheduled day off. Each quarter, a draw is held for prizes, usually gift certificates from local merchants. To create further incentive, approval was received to create a grand prize draw for a vacation and an additional week. There has been one vacation winner to date, with very positive feedback from staff and resulting in a reduction in absenteeism. Absenteeism cost savings were calculated over $2 million during the first year of the incentive draws. The team will continue the program for another year based on the positive results. The support team found that they were working on the same issues as the leadership team. This resulted in the team combining efforts and joining the leadership team. The leadership team investigated leadership methods and literature, attempting to gain a better understanding of leadership techniques at other hospitals and industries in an attempt to find what works best for other companies and how practices at Blue Water Health contrast with those from other organizations. The outcome to date has been the development of a leadership education program to educate our managers on the concept of leadership. Reward and recognition of our staff is significantly improved. One initiative included the development of a Star Performer program to allow all staff to recognize each other in their day-to-day work. Any staff member that receives a Star Performer note is visited by a member of the senior team and is presented with a QWL star to recognize how important each one of them is to our organization. The nurses and physicians team held a planning session dinner where there was a facilitated discussion as to what was required to make Blue Water Health one of the top 10 workplaces in Canada and to identify the barriers that prevent that from happening. This meeting resulted in information for future planning for the Quality of Work Life Core team. In January 2003, the Quality of Work Life team felt it needed to continue to develop and expand its efforts. This discussion led to the decision to partner with the Baptist Health Center in Pensacola, Florida, which is an award-winning employer in the United States. Baptist Health Center, Healthcare Center holds managers and executive accountable for employee and patient satisfaction. This was the direction that Blue Water Health wanted to take. The original six quality of life life teams have changed significantly over the past year. New teams have formed, and quality of work life organization has been developed. In September in 2004, the quality of work life survey was repeated. We look forward to reviewing our progress. Step 12. Celebrate. Blue Water Health has chosen to take this journey and stay committed to enhancing the work environment. It is a different place today. Managers and executives can be found rounding and meeting with patients and staff on a daily basis, in the cafeteria, on the patient care units, and in the operating rooms. Creating awareness in our managers and senior leaders to stay in touch with our staff and our patients has been one of our greatest achievements to date. We have come out of the meeting rooms to spend time with other staff and work with them to make this place a great place to work. One of the initial goals of the teams was the collaborative effort to define what an organization looks like with high quality of work life. The teams created the following philosophy, which continues to be celebrated today. An organization of high quality work life is an organization that promotes and maintains a work environment that results in excellence in everything it does by ensuring open communication, respect, recognition, trust, support, well-being, and satisfaction of its members, both personally and professionally. This case study was written by Martin Lees, the Medical Director of Emergency Room at Blue Water Health, and Sandra Kearns, the Vice President of Corporate Development and Medical Affairs at Blue Water Health. This has been Longwoods Radio. Thanks for listening.